of One Eye's water, served him right, the way he abused me. I thought about Sara. I knew I would be thinking of her a lot now. Danger has a way of making you dwell on the things most important to you. The proximity of Narayan Singh haunted me, too. The living saint of the deceivers was less than a mile away, tending his own cook fire while the daughter of night looked on dreamily, well bundled against the morning chill and damp. I started. Damn! That little reverie was almost real. I got restless waiting to get back to smoke. I wanted to see if Singh was making breakfast. I needed to get away from all these thoughts about Sari. When would the scars form around the pain? When would it stop hurting so much that I had to run away? I stared into the fire and tried to banish the thoughts. That was like picking at a scab. The harder I tried to think about something else, the more I focused on Sari. Eventually, the fire filled my entire horizon, and I seemed to see my wife on the other side, rumpled and beautiful and somewhat pallid as she went about the mundane business of cooking rice. It was like I was looking back through time to a moment I'd lived before. I made a noise like a dog strangling and jumped to my feet. Not again! I was over those falls into the past, wasn't I? When I clambered down from the wagon. All done, kid. You can have him if you need him, but you really ought to give it a break. Ain't nothing going to happen for a while, anyway. What are we burning in these fires? I'm having visions or something here. One Eye sucked in a couple gallons of air, held his breath a while, then blew it out, shook his head, disappointed. You're imagining things. I never did. I never did. That was worth thinking about. I glanced around to see who was listening. Mother Gota was at the family cookfire, but her Forsberger was not good enough to give her a clue. She'd appointed herself full-time family cook, which meant that, even with the demands made by my travels with Smoke, I was in no danger of getting fat. She still lugged her personal arsenal. She acted like she knew how to use it those rare times she troubled to practice with Tidae and Uncle Doge. She didn't talk to me much anymore. I was not the reason she was here. I was an inconvenience and an embarrassment. She knew none of this would have happened if love and Hong Tre had not gotten in the way of common sense and ancient custom. I was just as happy she stayed out of my way. I had my own feelings to tame. Among them was the conviction that life might have been much better for me had Sari's mother never come to stay with us. Sara might even be alive still, though there was no way I could work that out so that it fit any logic. Much as Smoke called, I decided to endure the pain. I had to get used to it sometime, so why not try walking around the camp again? I could stay away from the worst smoke. Tidae materialized almost as soon as I started moving. Your sling and splints are gone, I said. Are you back in the job? He nodded. Sure it isn't a little soon for that? You could break that arm again if you don't give it time enough to heal. Tidae shrugged. He was tired of being a cripple. That was that. Tough as he was probably right. What happened to Uncle Doge? I hadn't seen the old boy for a while. If Tidae was back, Doge might give in to an impulse to go after revenge on his own. His path of the sword thinking would find that perfect.